quite
unusual.
Hello and welcome to the Quite Unusual podcast. We are your hosts. I am Noelle.
And I am Nicole, and my wrist is extremely sore right now.
You know why her wrist is sore, people?
Because I got a cortisone shot in it.
Oh, yeah, that.
Why, what were you going to say?
I was going to say you've been beating it all day.
That's why I had to get a cortisone shot. No, it's because I'm a 32. I will be 32 tomorrow.
Happy birthday. Yeah.
It's because I'm a 32-year-old woman who types and texts way too much.
Everyone listening right now, I would like for you to join me in a chorus for Nicole.
Happy birthday, Mr. President.
Happy birthday, Mr. President. Do you want to be Mr. President or Mrs. President?
Either or, whatever feels right.
Happy birthday, Mrs. President.
That somehow is making the pain worse in my hand.
That's not sexy that, baby enough for you?
That voice is just, yeah, it's really not, it's not hitting. It's not hitting.
What if I sing it like a little kid?
Yeah, it'd probably be better.
Okay, go. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Can I blow out your candles later? Because I'm a little kid and that's my favorite thing to do. Also, if you need help unwrapping those presents, I can definitely do it for you. Because, like, I know it's your birthday, but I'm going to make it all about me because I'm a little kid and that's what I do. So happy birthday to us, technically.
That was good.
Was that helpful?
Yeah, the laughing made me forget about the throbbing pain in my wrist for like a hot second.
Okay, good.
So thank you.
Also, I haven't done a little kid voice in a really long time.
I know, you haven't.
We need to do like a haunted child or something.
Yeah, I was thinking about the gallows voice though today, and I just started cracking up.
My gallows voice?
Nicole, do you know what I got you for your birthday?
You gave me half of it, or actually, you gave me two parts of it early.
Well, like
actually.
A card, like doesn't really count.
And a candle and a necklace.
Oh, I did give you a necklace.
I'm wearing
like
it.
Like 3 months ago, because I was too excited to save it.
Yeah, I'm wearing it right now.
I'm so.
It says Abra. That's my dog's name.
I like to try to like shop early for like things so mm-hmm. that I have it because I'm such a procrastinator.
Yeah.
But then I get so excited
I know.
To give it.
I do the same thing.
That like I just needed to give it to you mm-hmm. immediately. Mm-hmm. So good. The other half of your president.
Uh-oh. My president? You're giving me the president.
I'm giving you the presidency because it can be bought.
We did it, Joe. We did it now.
I'm putting it on a t-shirt. We didn't know.
You should.
But it's you as Kamala.
Yeah.
Kamala. I got you. Spoiler. But I know you need to know. I got you.
Mm-hmm.
An entire pile of wood.
For my gallows
kit.
So I can build my very own gallows.
It's a DIY gallows kit.
Does it come on a wagon though? Can I transport it places with me?
It is BYOW. Okay. But it is a DIY gallows kit.
I'll take it.
So
thank you for the gallows. That's what I wanted for my 32nd birthday.
A gallows for my gal ho.
My own personal gallows. Yay!
I am so excited for you to use a gallows later. We're gonna hang all of our enemies.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Definitely.
All right, let's fucking do this.
Yeah. Introduce our Christmas special.
It is the annual Creepypasta Holiday Special.
It is.
Where we read holiday creepypasta. It's pretty self-explanatory.
It's, yeah. I mean, yeah. It's just like a fun little thing for us. You know, the mm-hmm. holidays are busy. You gotta do your holiday shopping, which neither of us have done, and it is December 15th.
I bought one present.
I've bought zero.
And I think I might keep it for myself.
I've literally bought zero presents for Christmas.
You bought me a present.
Okay, yeah, I bought you a present.
Mm-hmm.
But that you were the only person I bought a present.
I don't want to say I'm the most important person
thus far.
But I am. Okay, so please do enjoy our spooky spaghetti special. And you know what? Because you've been like such good little baby goblins mm-hmm. all year long, we are going to give this to you fully unedited, fully raw.
Raw.
like Monday Night Raw.
We're raw dogging this episode.
It's not going to come out on Monday night. It's Wednesday Night Raw.
That's right. There's going to be lots of mistakes. There's going to be lots of weird jokes that we would normally cut out because sometimes I need to be censored and you make that call and I approve of that. If a dog has to take a shit, you guys are just going to listen to her shit.
She's literally just scratching at my arm right now.
She doesn't have
to. Did you hear that? Do you have to go potty? No. I let her out before. I let her out before this. She did take a pee. But usually she forgets that she has to take a poo. And then she's like, are you guys recording? Because if you are, I need to do one of those.
Yeah.
You can lay down. It's fine. You don't have to go. This will be really quick. Only like an hour.
So quick. So, okay. Yes, we are not editing this one. Unless the dog has a shit, then we'll cut out.
Oh. She does.
Fuck.
She's going to need to. All right. Well, we're going to pause this, and then I will be back once my dog takes a doo-doo.
Okay. I'm going to place the Dooku.
And we are back.
From shitting?
All the poopsicles are out. It's freaking freezing outside. I have fashioned a sling around my wrist, so I don't use it.
It's true.
And I think we are ready to get this party started.
All right. Well, in that case...
In that case, is it my story verse?
Yeah. Please enjoy Holiday Horror straight from our mouths to your gorgeous little ear holes.
To your ear holes. All right. My creepypasta is called Santa Saved Me by, are you ready for this? Mm-hmm. Paige Turner.
Okay. First of all, that's a fake name.
Obviously.
Second, I'm pretty sure we watched a Hallmark movie.
We definitely did.
Where the character was called Paige Turner.
Yeah. She was like a novelist or some stupid shit and her name was Paige Turner. Yeah.
I literally love Hallmark movies so much.
Yeah. So yeah, this one's a fun one. It actually took me a really long time to pick a story.
I love that about you.
I read like three before I found this one and each of them were like 23 minutes long. So it was like 2 hours later.
I scanned, didn't even fully read mine.
Wow.
And it was the second one and I saw one word that was like, soul. This is what I'm doing.
I know exactly what word it is too. All right. So shall we?
Let's do it, baby. Get that holiday horror in my face.
All right. Hello, dear member of this marvelous community. You have no idea how relieved I am to find you. I need your help. You don't know me, but please hear my story. If you or someone you know can provide any information, I will be most grateful. I'm aware I opened myself up as a target to mockery, but it's worth the risk to find one person with a similar experience. If nothing else, I promise, even if you think I'm crazy, I won't bore you. I'm too afraid to tell my friends or family the truth. I know they won't believe me. You, dear friend, are my only hope for peace.
Okay, Paige Turner, I will listen to your story.
Thanks, Paige. This was the worst Christmas of my life. Either Santa Claus is real or my mind has finally broken in a way that feels forebodingly permanent. I can live with either, but I must know which. Even if it's the latter, it would hardly be the worst I've endured. No, the worst is easily when Mr. Monster Maker tried to kill me.
Oh, feels like there's a story there.
There's a story. That part is certainly real. The whole town knows about it, but let me start at the beginning so you can understand my sincerity. I flew home for the holidays to get away from all the overzealous, hormone-raging assholes at college, not find more. Being away from the dorms for 2 weeks was supposed to be relaxing. Unfortunately, I was only able to enjoy the first 2 days before things slid down shit hill.
Well, I mean, I'm going to say it. Your first mistake? Going up shit hill.
You went up. You got to come down.
That's how it
works. You got to come down. Our house is in the country. We have an alarm and cameras, but none of it helped. My parents are ER surgeons, and I used to appreciate their long hours, but not anymore. Wednesday the 22nd, I drove mom's car to dinner with high school friends, Sarah and Jen. They were the only other non-woo girls in our class, and therefore, the only ones I stayed in touch with.
Woo girl.
Woo! Halfway through the meal, Jen's cousin arrived with a friend and joined us. It didn't thrill me, but it wasn't the end of the world. Her cousin wasn't bad, although Dean was annoying from the moment he sat down.
His name is fucking Dean.
It's a bad name.
The only good Dean is the one from Supernatural.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's right. Everyone listening went, yeah.
Yeah, totally. He homed in on me immediately, trying to single me out for conversation and offering to buy me drinks. He looked decent. I might have given him a chance if I had been interested in dating at the time. But the more I brushed him off, the harder he tried, as if he couldn't fathom why I was resisting. It's like he set out to systematically raise every red flag on my radar.
Cute.
They decided to hit a few bars after dinner, but I politely declined. I figured I would go home, relax, watch a few Christmas movies, and never see Dean again. That's how life would go on for anyone else, at least. But no, not for me. I wasn't on the road 5 minutes before my phone started going crazy. It sounded like my last tweet was going viral, though I knew that was impossible. I'd be more likely to grow wings. Back home, I saw Dean found me on Twitter, then proceeded to like every post and comment on every selfie. They all said various forms of so beautiful or we have so much in common. Let's hang.
Did you pick this? Because this happens to us personally all of the fucking time.
No, I did not. I did not actually.
Okay, crazy.
Doesn't actually happen to me as much. I just kind of brush them off, you know?
Yeah.
You
have boundaries.
You do not have boundaries on the internet. I'm also not a person really on the internet too much, so. Mm. Yeah.
I love that about you.
Yeah.
Hunter gatherer.
He also sent a DM with his contact info and four paragraphs of creepy compliments that ended with a list of things he thought we had in common. I've never been so grateful to not have my address or number listed. I don't know why I didn't block him then and there. Instead, I texted Jen to find out what his deal was. I didn't think he was dangerous so much as lonely and desperate. I've included our conversation, beginning with her response to numerous screenshots.
Wait, can I be Jen?
Yeah.
Okay. I was wondering what he was doing. He's been buried in his phone since we got here. Ryan said their mothers are friends. Dean just moved here from his dad's house in Nevada, and Rye is supposed to help him make friends.
Weird way to make friends. Think your cousin can get him to ease up?
I'll talk to him. No worries.
I turned off notifications to Twitter and started a Christmas story. He already liked everything. I didn't think he could do much more. Both parents were back on the night shift, and I was determined no one would ruin my blissful solitude. I almost didn't look when I heard Jen's text 30 minutes later, but I assumed she was saying Dean wouldn't be an issue anymore. I wanted to send a quick thanks and forget I owned a phone for a few hours. Here's what was actually said.
Okay, so small problem. Maybe just block him and don't read any more messages.
You're freaking me out. I have 18 new messages since we talked.
There's something wrong with that guy. Rye distracted him with darts for a few minutes, but he kept asking what kind of guys you like, where you live, and why we thought we weren't responding to him yet. I'm really sorry. I'm buzzed. And he was so annoying. I told him, maybe because you're going full stalker on her after a 20-minute conversation, and he got really upset.
The hell is wrong with you? Tell me he doesn't know where I live, Jennifer. Tell me that right now.
Of course, he doesn't. We wouldn't do that. But he immediately went back to his phone and started typing with a scary look on his face. Ryan said that he had to get home and made Dean go with him. But he genuinely creeped me out. Go block him on everything.
You better believe I did just that. But first, I took screenshots of the worst messages. I told myself I wanted them for evidence, just in case. But part of me wanted to see how far he went.
Been there, girl.
The answer is way too far. I won't waste your time with the ramblings of a madman. Several contain nothing more than the word fuck used in various creative ways, but I would like to indulge a few so you understand I'm not exaggerating. 10:23 p.m.
Are you going to do a voice?
I wasn't planning on it. Do you want to do a voice?
No, I don't. I want you
okay,
to
okay,
do,
okay, I'll do
a douche voice.
Weird. You still aren't home.
So good.
Do you live outside the city? I know you aren't the kind of person who ignores a good guy like me. Haha. Only bitches and ditches do that. Joke. Get it? Anyway, call me when you get home. Drive safe. A lot of crazies out there. 10:33 p.m. Was that you trying to call? I'm having trouble with my phone. It froze when I tried to answer. Call me back before I gotta come find you. Kidding again. Do you like my ha-ha?
I love the ha so much.
10:38 p.m. Why is this bitch calling me a stalker just because I'm trying to be friendly? How does she know I've even messaged you? Pretty shitty you can talk smack about me, but not to me. You want to explain that? You're just like all the others. Everyone thinks they're so much better than me. You have no idea what I'm capable of.
He's so scary.
He's a fucking psycho. 10:50 p.m. Look, I'm sorry I got upset. That was really unlike me. I've been under a lot of stress with the move. I know we're perfect for each other. I just need you to give me a chance so you can see it too. What's your address? I want to apologize in person. I feel terrible. I know you deserve better, and I'm the best there is. You'll see.
I definitely believe him.
Right. 10:57 p.m. I'm out of patience, bitch. If this is going to work between us, you have to start showing me some respect. You got about 30 seconds to start apologizing. And that was the last one. And I didn't stay to see more. I blocked him with shaking hands before he could finish whatever he was in the process of typing. After sending the screenshots to Jen, I hid my phone under the couch cushion. I didn't want to see it for a while. I tried to focus on TV instead, but my brain had other ideas. I wanted to dwell upon what a small community we lived in. If Dean's mother was in the same social circles as Ryan's, how long would it take him to learn which house belonged to the well-known doctors? How many grateful patients had tracked us down just to deliver casseroles or cookies? Far too many, that's for sure. How did I go from dinner with friends to stalker's obsession so quickly? That garbage is for Halloween, not Christmas. At some point, I fell asleep while contemplating life, the universe, and everything. It's important to keep track of the date, too. Remember, this is Thursday the 23rd now. When I woke, it was daylight, and a note from my parents was on the coffee table. Sleeping till noon, pizza in the fridge.
They're not regular parents. They're cool
parents. They're cool parents. I had food in the microwave before remembering where my phone was and why. There were a few messages from friends and an apology from Ryan. He saw the screenshots and felt terrible for introducing us to Dean. I know he's a good guy, but I was still too shaken up to pretend I was okay. After answering the texts, my heart sank when I saw Twitter. I had several DMs, which, judging by the new comments, were all from fresh accounts Dean created. Each had a different name and a profile picture. How does anyone have that kind of free time? I let my food go cold while changing my settings to private and blocking the new profiles. All the fear I felt when alone the previous night was reborn into pure fury.
Wow.
There was so much rage bottled inside. I know how stupid it is to engage an unstable person. I really do. But by time I regained control of my actions, the message was sent.
I mean, we've like literally all done that, right? Yeah. Like so mad that you're like, you should just ignore it, just ignore it, just ignore it. And you're like, and another thing.
You're like, and I'm not ignoring it.
Yeah.
I unblocked his real account long enough to inform him I would take my evidence to the police if he made contact again. I should have stopped there, but I went on to say exactly how I felt about him. It's possible I ended it with a list of animals I would rather be with, but that's also fuzzy now. Only after it was too late did I remember the overwhelming fear of how easily he could find me. I checked the locks on every window and made sure the alarm was on. For the first time, I found myself wishing for a gun. My parents would have a heart attack if they knew. They've seen more dead family members than burglars, but that argument holds less weight with me these days. Sorry, I don't mean to get sidetracked, but this has been more difficult to relive than expected. Anyway, I had an almost peaceful day after that. My parents woke at noon, and we talked for a bit before they went to work. Jen wanted to come over, and I was happy for the company. We drank wine, we watched movies, and gossiped like we were back in school. By 9 o'clock, we were past tipsy, and I had forgotten about Dean.
That's right, girl.
Nothing a little wine can take care of. Mm-hmm. I didn't even think about it when my phone rang with an unfamiliar number. I won't answer those anyways, even when it's not spam. It's never good. If someone has a real emergency, they'll text before giving up. The only reason to call is if you need to pressure someone into something unpleasant.
Yeah, like buying a car's extended warranty.
Exactly. I rejected 3 calls and accidentally opened 1 text in the process of blocking the number. And there was no doubt who sent it. I know you hit the asshole button, you stupid whore. I'm done being treated like a bitch.
They don't act like a bitch.
He's acting like a bitch.
He's kind of acting like a fucking bitch.
Like a really big bitch.
Like a bitch.
Like a bitch. We never did learn how he got my number, but I've had the same one since junior high. It wouldn't have been too hard if he asked the right people. Plus, now that the whole town knows what happened, there's no way anyone will admit to it. Still, it bothers me. I'm not sure why I've fixated on it. Not like it'll change anything, but I wish I knew. We Googled his name, hoping to learn something that may explain his behavior, but there was nothing aside from the normal social media accounts. Jen told Ryan he should let his mom know about her friend's creepy son. We didn't expect anything to come of it. I think we wanted to feel like we did something other than let him completely get away with it. Imagine our surprise when he responded with not only more apologies, but several news articles. It seemed Robert Dean Travers, 20, of Shady Pines, Nevada, was the prime suspect in the deaths of 2 women and the disfigurement of another.
Okay, I know this is fake, but I just got goosebumps.
Right. Ages 18 to 22. Mr. Travers was detained by police, but later released due to lack of evidence. There were also links to articles about each woman, including their pictures. It made me nauseous to see how similar we looked. It's true what they say about those guys having a type.
Mm.
There were no other suspects in the case, and no attacks since Dean left the area. Jen told me not to read what he did to them, but I had to know. I needed to know.
How do you not know?
You need. You
I
need
would 100% look.
Assholes on the internet dubbed him the Monster Maker, which led to the press calling him Frankenstein. The survivor told police all she could, but obviously was unable to identify her attacker now that she was blind. Her testimony confirmed what police believed happened, but couldn't prove Dean was the culprit. He found these women in various places, but once he chose a mark, the rest was routine. He put great effort into making social media accounts with fake names and background to seem more appealing. Police say they were created months in advance and deleted immediately before the attack. Unfortunately, Dean only created and accessed these accounts from public hotspots on disposable phones, meaning it was useless as evidence. No number was ever used to contact more than a single victim.
This is you picked a really good one.
This is a good one. I told you, I read like four before this.
I didn't even read one, so.
Next, he learned their address, a task at which he became quite proficient. If a date insisted they meet rather than being picked up, he simply waited for them to leave and followed them at a distance. Once he knew where they lived, he returned in the dead of night, parking several blocks away from the victim's house. After torturing these women for hours, he poured acid on their faces. Badly beaten as they were, it was still a slow, excruciating death.
It's fucked up, man.
I read the survivor's testimonial where she recounted her moments of lying helpless as the acid ate through her flesh. She describes her blindness as a consolation prize, preferring that to seeing the deformity of her face. It was unquestionably the most horrible thing I had ever read in my life. My chest still aches with the memory of her words. Every night I dream of her. I see her at home, asleep when Dean attacks. I see her terrified face and hear her screams of agony for hours before he uses the acid. He tapes her eyes open, forcing her to meet his gaze as he applies the liquid with a medicine dropper. Bursts to her forehead, but slowly, always slowly, he works his way around her face. The bastard giggles in delight with every fresh tear as he saves her eyes for last.
What's that laugh sound like?
With each drop, a horrible sizzle can be heard as the skin melts away. I think the dreams are part of why I can't move on. If I could just have one night's sleep where I don't see such awful things, I don't know. Maybe I'll never recover. Maybe the dreams are my mind's way of telling me I wasn't supposed to survive in the first place, but I'm getting ahead of myself again. I'm sorry about that. I'm just so sleepy. I've been awake for 31 hours, and it's getting harder to concentrate. Where were we? Oh, right. Me and Jen on Friday night. We weren't stupid. We knew how serious the situation was after learning about Dean's past. We called my parents, they called the police, and all my hopes were shot to hell less than an hour later when Dad informed me Dean was cleared of all charges, and his mother explained the horrible misunderstanding that led him being suspected in the first place. He's actually a very shy young man. I stopped listening after that.
Yeah.
We tried calling the cops ourselves, but they only repeated the same thing. While they didn't give me quite the brush off Dad did, legally, their hands were tied. They promised to have a cruiser drive by every few hours, which was more than most people would get. Call it a perk of the relationship between doctors and police. Not that it helped. Jen agreed to stay the night so I wouldn't have to be alone, but aside from jumping at every noise, nothing more happened. She went home the next morning, which is important to remember was Christmas Eve, and my parents continued to reassure me when they woke that afternoon, and it was their last shift before having 5 days off. I thought I could survive one more night alone. Miles away from the closest neighbor.
Fucking gonna get in cold-blooded, bitch.
There had been no contact from Dean since I blocked his number. Horrible as it sounds, I hoped he found someone else to talk to. Anything that let me think he wasn't trying to find me. I made another round through the house, checking the alarm and locks, but it provided little comfort. How is it possible we live in a world where people know a man like that is free, but they do nothing to stop him? It's madness. They think just because we live in this happy little community where nothing bad happens, nothing bad can happen, and that is dangerously flawed logic. At 9 o'clock, it began snowing, and the forecast warned it would soon be a blizzard. Even with the porch lights on, I saw little more than a white wall outside. That bastard managed to ruin snow on Christmas. How evil can one man be? I tried to watch TV, but jumping at every sound effect got old fast. Listening to a podcast on low volume was going well, until I heard something hit the kitchen window shortly after 10 o'clock.
I wonder if she was listening to a murder podcast, because those always soothe me.
They soothe you?
Yeah.
One time I was listening to a murder podcast, and you were like on vacation or something, and I was in the basement, and then I noticed that the basement door was unlocked.
Oh, I remember that.
And I was like, oh, this is scary. And I texted you.
Well, we have like three locks on it.
Yeah. And they were all three unlocked. And I was
no.
like, great. Yes, they were. The door was, I could open the door. That's why I was like, oh, this is great. So might sorry. Die tonight.
Our basement's so scary also.
Yeah.
And there's just like an exterior door for some reason.
Yeah. It was almost the dull thud of a bird, but I had a difficult time believing something tried to fly in that weather. Or that it hit such a small target. My feet were lead weights as I forced them to carry me forward, but not to the kitchen. Instead, I went to Dad's office where the monitors were.
Mm.
My heart skipped more than one beat as my eyes scanned over each screen several times before I could breathe normally again. A large tree stood a few yards away. Technically, it was possible a stick was blown into the window. I saw no signs the snow was disturbed on the ground, but the view was becoming more obstructed by every second. Soon, snow would cover the lenses and the cameras would be worthless. At that point, I realized the security alarm was nothing more than assurance police would find my corpse first. As much as I prefer that scenario, it was little comfort in the moment.
Dude, what would you do?
I'd fucking call you and be like, you're staying on the phone with me for the rest of the night.
I would just walk there.
Well, first, I would have like a dog with me because I never not have a dog with me. So,
well, I have pocket cats. So.
You do have pocket cats. After nearly 20 minutes of staring into the white monitors, I returned to the den. Part of me wanted to crawl under my bed, but the idea of hiding in my room when I imagined Dean lurking down the hall seemed infinitely worse than sitting on the couch and imagining he was in the bushes. No matter what I did to feel safe, my mind found a new way to show me why it wouldn't help. I hate my brain. That bitch is lucky I can't lay hands on her. That's all I'll say about that. It was roughly 10 minutes later when I heard another soft thud, this time from the dining room. I stood before the yellow curtains, trembling, trying to mentally will the curtains aside rather than lift my shaking arms. Somehow, my legs continued to support me as one hand slowly, unsteadily, reached forward. Just as my fingers brushed the fabric, a louder thud shook the window. I screamed, falling backwards and landing hard on my ass.
Dude.
I remained frozen, listening to the horrifying crunch of snow as heavy footsteps approached. When they finally came to a stop, I heard something different. Something like metal dragging lightly across the glass. And that's what erased all doubts of mere paranoia. There was no natural explanation for the deliberate noise I heard. My mind screamed to run, but I only whimpered. It seems I have neither fight nor flight, only freeze. I managed to slide backwards across the floor until I was beneath the dinner table. Making no efforts to lower my voice, I dialed 911. When finished relaying the address, I noticed the noise had stopped. All was eerily silent. The operator stayed on the phone until able to confirm it was safe to open the door for police, but there was no further disturbance. One officer took my statement while another checked the perimeter. There were no signs of anyone else, but they admitted it was snowing heavily enough to cover all but his deepest tracks. I think they were trying to be polite because of my parents, but they clearly didn't believe I was in danger.
I'd be like, can you, like, arrest me, please?
Yeah, I'd be like, I would punch the cop and be like, nah, you have to arrest me.
Oh, no.
No. I'm sure they didn't appreciate driving in a blizzard either, but what else could I do? I cried again as they left. It felt like they were leaving me to die. It was almost midnight as I watched the cruiser leave our driveway, and with it, my last shred of hope. I desperately wanted to sleep, but anytime I felt myself drifting, I remembered the woman who was so rudely awakened in the sanctity of their own homes. If my car were there, I would have gone to a hotel. By 1 o'clock, my eyelids were drooping, even while standing. I knew if I sat, it would be the end. At one point, I found myself staring at a pile of presents beneath our tree. I thought of all the years I sat in that very spot, shaking gifts, trying to peek inside without tearing the paper, all while ignorant to the fact I would likely die in the very same room. A loud crash from the kitchen pulled me from my trance. The sound of shattering glass painted a clear picture of someone breaking a pane on the back door to gain entry. When I thought it possible to feel more frightened, a series of beeps, followed by the silencing of the alarm, sent a crippling wave of hopelessness through me. Later, I would learn Dean worked for a security company in Nevada, where he learned to bypass the alarms.
It's great. It's great. I love this guy.
Yeah.
People definitely have never done this before.
Big BTK energy over there. As his heavy footsteps approached, my legs finally decided to function. They felt numb as they carried me to the front door, but I hesitated at the staircase. With the blizzard in full force, outside wasn't an option. Dean was only seconds away from turning the corner, and I was sure my knees would fold the moment I saw him. I ran upstairs. When almost at the top, Dean shouted, "There she is! Hey, darling, why don't you come on down so we can have a little chat?" No wonder his last victim couldn't identify his voice. He sounded like a completely different person. It was husky and sinister, almost inhuman. Without risking a glance back, I kept running forward, trying to reach the bathroom. It was the only room with a lock. Not that I thought that would save me, but what else could I do? The maniac was fast. He collided into the door before I could latch it. It slammed into my nose, and warm, sticky blood sprayed as I struggled to push against his body weight.
Oh, this is freaking me out, dude.
He overpowered me effortlessly, pushing the door hard enough to smash my head into the wall behind it. My vision went dark, and then the last moments before losing consciousness, I remember thinking, I hope I don't wake up after. When I woke up, there were a few seconds where I forgot my circumstances. I couldn't understand why I was in a sitting position or why my head ached so miserably. The moment my memory returned, panic surged through me, and I opened my eyes to see Dean seated across from me, smiling in a deranged way even Pennywise would find disturbing.
Hey, listeners. So, fun thing about Nicole is that she does an it smile.
I do an it. I think we've mentioned that before.
And it's amazing.
I used to make my sister cry when she was like 8.
It's so good. And now whenever I see or hear of it,
you think of my smile.
I think of you, which is kind of nice.
I was tightly bound to a dining room chair with ropes eating into my wrists, ankles, and torso. Look who's awake. It's about time, sleepyhead. I was getting so bored, I thought I would have to start without you. Dean smiled, and I did my best not to give him the satisfaction of crying. I was still a little delirious, but a strange calmness possessed me. It happened. I was caught, and soon I would beg for death before being murdered. But there was nothing I could do about it while tied to that chair. I felt dizzy and nauseous, but I was beginning to accept my fate. I decided my only goal was to hurt him badly, as badly as possible in the process. I focused my energy on awaiting my chance while he launched into a cliche villain rant. Did you think you were playing hard to get? Did you think you were being cute? That I would respect you. That I would...
Whoa, he just like broke character for like one
sorry,
second.
Sorry. No, it was so like, weird, Dean.
It was honestly crazy.
That I would respect you for. Well, you sadly miscalculated, and now you're going to pay dearly. You could have had everything.
Like, literally, what does this man have, though?
Like, literally nothing.
Like a 94 Honda Civic?
Yeah, probably.
Is it gray?
It's probably, like, a weird gold.
Honestly? Like, get, you know, that, like, fucking gold Civic out of my face.
In the late 90s when people thought, like, gold cars people were cool.
Loved gold cars.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you could have had everything. You could have had my empire of dirt. Fuck, that was good.
He wasn't manic. In fact, he was the opposite. It was the most composure he had displayed yet. He spoke as naturally as if discussing the weather.
This is the voice that he used when he was buying that Civic. He's like, I'm going to haggle this guy down.
That's why I got a sick deal on it.
It was so cheap.
My brain whispered to play along, to indulge his delusion by apologizing, begging for another chance, but I couldn't. The thought of him having the satisfaction, even for a moment, was unbearable. I summoned every ounce of hate in my soul and tried to express it through my icy glare. But Dean only smiled. It's a shame, really. Oh, well, there will be others. Maybe I'll go to New York next. Who knows? But I can't very well stay here. I promised Mother I would behave.
Oh, Mother.
And she's going to be livid when she hears about this. It's probably best I leave town before that happens. Don't you worry, though. We can still be together tonight. Your parents won't leave the hospital for hours yet. Dean rose to his feet, and I tried to control my trembling as he approached. He placed both hands on my shoulders and lowered himself until his mouth was at my ear. I could smell the stench from his rotten breath as he whispered, Are you ready? I think you. His words were cut off by a strange sound from the living room. The only way I can think to describe it is as if it were a jingle scuffle. Dean bolted upright, head snapping in its direction. After a slight hesitation, he reached into the small black bag sitting on the table and pulled out a knife.
God, I wish it was a fanny pack.
Oh, God.
Can you imagine getting murdered by someone?
He reached into the small black fanny pack sitting on the table and pulled out a knife.
Can you imagine getting murdered by a man wearing a fanny pack?
No.
I couldn't take it seriously. Ugh.
He winked at me, putting a finger over his lips in a shushing gesture while mimicking the knife across his throat before tiptoeing around the corner. I didn't believe for an instant anyone was inside. It just wasn't possible. But I screamed, Help! He has a knife! Anyway, Dean was only gone a moment before he returned. The look on his face told me screaming had been a mistake.
What's he gonna do, murder her? Right. Oh, no.
Why would you do that? I know you understand what I said, so tell me, what stupid thought ran through that pretty little head that convinced you it was okay to disobey? He jabbed his finger into my temple with each word, and tears spilled from my eyes. My vision was blurry when I saw a red glob moving behind Dean. I didn't understand what I was seeing. I thought something in my eye ruptured and was causing me to see red. I didn't know if that was possible, but I was fairly certain we were alone in the house. So what else could it have been? I challenge you to find someone above the age of 12 who would think, maybe it's Santa Claus when in my situation.
Saved by Santa is like the rom-com I'm looking for.
You know what? I think it's time to take this party upstairs. But first, I'm going to break one of your legs to make sure you can't run away. Hate to do it, but you clearly can't be trusted, the madman said in a way that made it obvious he would not hate it one bit.
I was going to say, dude, this guy fucking loves breaking limbs.
He literally loves it.
You can, like, tell.
When Dean reached for something behind me, his body went rigid, and the popping sounds of a taser filled the room. My mind was unable to process what was happening.
Dog. Santa has a taser.
Santa's got a taser. I stared at his unconscious form for almost a minute before noticing the ropes which bound me were on the floor.
I'd like to imagine what this is like, you know, like the movie The Santa Claus
mm-hmm.
with Tim Allen.
They're the what is it? They just came out with a movie like this.
Oh, yeah.
What is it called? It's like Violent Night. I still have to see it. But yeah, it's like literally this, which I was like, yeah.
Well, I'm picturing Tim Allen as Santa Claus doing this.
I lifted my head slowly in search of my rescuer, but found myself speechless as I locked eyes with a man dressed as Santa Claus.
I can't wait to hear Santa voice.
Are you turned, child?
I was trying to say hurt, but then I said child, so I said shirt.
Try again, Santa. Rewind that.
Are you hurt, child?
He asked in a warm, fatherly voice. How was all I could say?
I know. You're obviously too old to believe in me, but I was flying by when I heard the commotion. I couldn't just keep going, not knowing an innocent young lady was in peril, could I?
He asked, extending his hand to help me up. I took it gratefully. I didn't believe him yet, but he saved my life. If he wanted to hurt me, he would have left me tied to that chair. But, I tried and failed to speak once again.
It's all right. I imagine you've been through quite the ordeal. Please, follow me into the den while we wait on my assistant.
Placing one hand gently on my back, he guided me to the couch. Once seated, he offered me a mug of cocoa. I didn't know where it came from, but I drank it gratefully.
Did you know that Santa canonically pees cocoa?
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's true. Cocoa is Santa piss.
That's amazing.
That's a fact.
What are his... But now I'm never going to say that.
Marshmallows.
The Jesus marshmallows.
Yeah. Where do you think marshmallow fluff comes from?
I'm perfect. Yeah. Why didn't I think of that?
Don't be ridiculous.
So stupid. Everything else aside, it was, without contest, the greatest hot chocolate I have ever tasted.
You know why? It's piss and jizz.
Piss and jizz. Santa piss and jizz. Before I could learn more, I heard the scuffled jingle sound again. Coco sprayed from my mouth when three elves emerged from the fireplace.
Excellent. Thank you for coming so quickly. I must resume my flight, Santa told the elves as he floated up the chimney with no more than a wave goodbye in my direction.
The elves looked exactly the same as the ones in the old Rudolph cartoon. Clothes and all. I began to hypothesize that I was already dead, but I wasn't sure how to test the theory. I watched, mouth agape, as the two elves entered the dining room and the third came to stand by me.
I have a request.
Yeah.
Can I do the elf voice?
No, I have a really good elf voice.
Oh, okay.
Greetings. We are Santa's Naughty Squad. My name is Gibson, and I'm here to prepare the body for police.
Honestly, great elf voice.
Thank you.
It was really good.
Thank you. I literally said, I like did that voice when I read this and it made me laugh. He said it quickly, as one does when a phrase is memorized from repeated use. The what? I didn't finish the sentence before Gibson launched into explanation.
The Naughty Squad is responsible for securing any active crime scene where the big man was forced to intervene. Over the centuries, there has been numerous occasions where the situation has been deemed necessary.
He still spoke as if reading from a script. At my confused look, the elf let out a long, exasperated sigh and rubbed the bridge of his nose as if resisting an oncoming headache.
Look, girl, he's Santa Claus. Think about it. Do you really think he could just sit back and let people get butchered if he can help it? The man travels the globe every year, and of course there's going to be times like this. We've seen it all. There's nothing that surprises us anymore.
The professional tone was gone, and if somehow felt stranger to hear him talk like a normal person. It does make kind of sense that if Santa is real, he would want to help people when able, if he's real. And just when I thought nothing could shock me more, the other elves returned from the dining room, and I turned to see them give Gibson a confirmation nod before they too exited through the chimney.
Great. They're finished. Now, here's what you're going to do. Call 911, tell them you were attacked, but able to incapacitate your assailant with a taser.
He paused, indicating the taser on the coffee table.
The coroner will determine his heart stopped due to pre-existing medical conditions, but they won't look too hard. They'll be glad that he's dead.
Gibson did not wait to answer questions. The moment he finished speaking, he was gone. And I did as I was told, mostly because there was nothing else I could do. Of the information I learned that would have had me questioning all I knew to be true. The only item I could focus on in that moment was, elves just murdered a man in my house.
Honestly, that's my dream day.
I felt like a third party in my own body. As I called 911 to explain the dead serial killer, it seemed like I was watching someone else in a movie. Seeing the sirens fill our yard was surreal. Cop cars, ambulances, and fire trucks lit up our dirt road. I stayed on the couch, giving my story to the lead detective as dozens of people marched through the house. My parents were the worst part when they made it home. They raised such a fuss. It was almost dawn when the last official vehicle left, and I wanted nothing more than to sleep until noon. We did the best we could to have a happy Christmas, but our hearts weren't in it. I don't tell them about my nightmares. They wouldn't understand. The next day, a profiler with the FBI said the stress of a new environment, especially under the circumstances of Dean's relocation, is what began his spiral. She believes he felt pressured to establish himself in a new community. And given, he persuaded me after I knew his real identity, he had no intentions of harming me at first.
What the fuck, man?
It's far more likely he intended to marry me to further his cover as a normal member of society.
Okay.
For a man accustomed to instantly winning his target's affection, my repeated dismissals would have been difficult to tolerate, even on a good day. Coupled with the fact he was already on edge, guaranteed disaster. Essentially, the more I rejected him, the more he lost his ability to reason. I'm back at college now, but I still can't get this out of my head. It's killing me to stay awake, but the alternative is dreaming of the girl again, and I don't want to see her anymore. It's unbearable. I feel as if it will never stop until I learn the truth. So please, has anyone else met the Naughty Squad, or am I crazy?
Whoa. First of all.
The end.
Incredible character work.
Thank you.
You're amazing.
Thank you so much.
It was so good. Your elf.
I'm going to take a sip of wine. My throat's a little dry.
You deserve it. That was so good and so scary. And I think the moral of
this. It's a good one, right?
The moral of this story is it's twofold. One, believe in Santa.
Believe in Santa.
And two, if a man is, being awful to you, just, date him. It's not that hard.
Yeah, if you reject him, he might try to kill you, and that's your fault.
But, he's just a nice guy trying to do nice guy things.
He wanted to marry you, but you said no, and that's why he had to kill you.
Honestly, it makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big eye roll on that one.
Okay. That was a really good story.
Thank you.
I feel like...
Thank you.
Even though I have not read this...
You feel like it's going to be a good one?
I feel like it's going to be scarier.
Scarier, okay.
In every possible way.
That's a big claim for someone who has not read their story.
I haven't read it. Okay. But that was the best creepypasta I think I've ever heard.
Yeah, I know. I told you, I was reading a couple, and then I was like, well, this one's kind of good. And then I came across this one, and I was like, this one fucks.
That one did fuck.
It fucks.
This one also might fuck. We don't know.
Okay.
Nobody knows.
It might fuck.
No one knows.
It might not.
Okay. So I found a story about my favorite animal. Furbies.
You just saw the word Furby then you picked this.
I saw the word Furby and I picked it.
What if it was a typo and it was Farby or Lane?
They're this is a story about furries, the weird sex thing where people wear costumes. Also scary. Right?
Sometimes creepypastas can have typos, and mine had a couple I stumbled over that you guys are going to have to listen to because I'm not editing this.
We're not editing this. Mine's going to be a nightmare because I'm also dyslexic and cannot read for shit. So good okay. luck, people.
Alrighty.
All right. You know how much I love Furbies.
Yes.
So this one is dedicated to my longest son.
Yeah.
Fabian Brett Michaels LaFerb.
Yes. Fabian Brett Michaels LaFerb.
Who is my long Furby. He's yes. my son. This one goes out to you, Fabian. Okay. It's going to be good. I can tell.
Okay. We're settling in.
It also does not have a name.
It's a nameless creepypasta?
There's also no author. The post was like, hey, found this on the internet, LOL. So I have no one to attribute this to. So oh. I'm going to say Brett Michaels, the real Brett Michaels, wrote this, and he loves Furby fan fiction. Michaels. Yeah.
Okay. Every Furby has its own.
Honestly, so true. Okay. In the weeks leading up to Christmas, Myra had one toy that kept coming to the top of her list, a Furby.
Who doesn't? Everyone wanted a Furby.
I love Furbies. Other items on the list would change, but a pink Furby was always there for anyone who asked, including Santa, who got an earful about how much she really wanted a Furby.
My sister had the pink Furby.
This is me as a child.
I had the white one.
Did you?
Yeah.
My older brother got me a Furby, and it was like the best Christmas of my life.
Actually, my sister, I think, was like the pink and like the gray speckled one. Yeah. I had like the pink on the top, and then I think it was like gray and speckled.
Honestly, gorgeous.
The one she got.
What a beautiful Furby. Mm-hmm. I want a Furby so bad.
I'm sure my mom probably still has our old Furbies. I can ask her.
I need one. I would literally love a vintage
Furby. I'll ask her if she has them. She's like saved all of our toys. So. Oh my God.
So good. Okay. And continuing. Mm. So when Christmas arrived, she was overjoyed to get a hot pink Furby from Santa. Cordy got a blue Furby too. Now, there are a few things they don't tell parents about the Furby. First, it has no off button at all. The only way to immediately silence it is to take it out. Oh my God, see, I'm already fucking this up, dude, because I'm fucking dyslexic. I'm so sorry.
It's all right.
The only way to immediately silence it is to take out the batteries, which requires a screwdriver. And you know that right when you want it to shut up is the same time that all of the screwdrivers in the house go missing.
And you need like that weird little one that like no one has, but they keep in their junk drawer, but then it always gets pushed to the back and then you can never find it anyway. So then you buy one off of Amazon and then you find it. And then all of a sudden you have like seven different packs of these like weird little screwdrivers.
That's how I feel about Allen wrenches.
Or is that just me?
No, I fully agree. And like the Allen wrench that like comes with like all the IKEA furniture. Yes. We have like 95 in this house.
We cannot find them.
One is.
I don't know.
Nobody knows.
I thought I put one in my sock drawer, but I couldn't find it, so.
I feel like I know where a bunch are, but, like, are they there?
I don't know.
Who knows? Otherwise, you would have to wait for it to fall asleep or force it to go to sleep by placing it in a dark, quiet area and ignoring it.
I remember that.
Just like a child.
Yeah, that's the only way you get it to fall asleep.
Once it's asleep, you mustn't move it or bump it at all, or it will wake up again. The Furby also has no volume control at all. It's loud all of the time. So far, this is just a manual about Furbies.
Basically, just don't get one is what it's telling me.
I want one so bad. Most of the time, it speaks in Furbish, which seems to be some kind of cross between baby talk and pig Latin. Basically, it's a toy equivalent of a colicky baby.
Or a Siamese kitten.
Oh, Jethu. Look how cute she looks,
though. She's kind of like a Furby, though.
Oh, she is furry.
She sleeps if it's dark, but then she wakes you up, and she's very loud.
She woke me up this morning by putting her paw inside of my open mouth.
Yep.
Furby. At 2:30 in the morning.
She's a Furby.
And, yeah. I don't know some of this is going into purchase. Nope. I didn't know some of this going into our purchase of this toy, but I did know all about the enhancements from the previous 1998 version. The LED eyes are cool and provide the ability for more expression and personality. It has more sensors to detect touch, and it can change personality. The old Furby would have some change in personality based on how you treated it, but this one goes far beyond that, with multiple personality disorder.
That's it's terrifying.
It has several very distinct personalities that doesn't come with the Furby antipsychotic drugs it desperately needs. Myra's Furby started out as the furry hot pink version of a valley girl. A little annoying, but kind of cute. She fed it on demand, and she used the iPad app to translate what it was saying, which is a real thing.
I don't know. Did they refurbish the Furbies?
Oh, my God. It got a refurb?
Refurbed the Furbs.
This is my come to Jesus moment.
If they have an app now, oh, my God, I know what I'm getting you for your birthday.
I want to fuck a Furby so bad. I'll get one. Yes, I can't wait. I'm getting you one. I'm not.
I don't want one. I do not want one.
If you ever make me mad, I'm getting you one.
I will literally donate it.
And it slowly learned a little English, too. Well, a version of English better suited to the movie Clueless, perhaps. After the second or third day, it had the personality shift. It had the first personality shift. I didn't see it happen, but suddenly it was speaking like a cowboy and mooing at us, with chicks and cows appearing in the LED eyes at times. Myra found that hilarious, and I suffered through the noise because she liked this toy so much.
They were just watching a lot of Yellowstone. That's why I changed that person.
Yes, children historically love Yellowstone.
Everyone does. It's a family favorite.
They're watching that and No Country for Old Men. Myra fucking loves that shit. The next day, it was back to Valley Girl again, and even seemed to name itself Coco. It gave itself a name. It was becoming more sentient with each passing day. And then, in the middle of Myra trying to teach it to dance, something very bad happened. It started to shake back and forth and made weird noises. Its LED eyes were flashing like strobe lights. I did pick the right one. I thought it was either having a grand mal seizure or we broke the damn thing.
Or it was getting possessed by the devil.
The devil. Then it stopped. All was silent for a moment. And then what was in front of us was a Furby who no longer had the high-pitched girly voice, but instead a deep, growling voice with angry-looking eyes.
Coco isn't here anymore,
Mrs. Torrance.
And it did the thing with its finger. Myra's Furby was suddenly possessed by a new personality who was mean. It growled at her. It snapped at her with an angry voice if she tried to pet it, and it made retching noises when she tried to feed it.
Oh, fuck.
As if the iPad foods weren't good enough for it. Occasionally, it showed little flames in its eyes.
I love that. I'll take a Furby if it's this one.
You know what I love most about what's happening right now? Your story was so genuinely good. And mine is also so genuinely good.
Jury's out. It's got a hot start.
We're gonna vote on this. Okay, everyone's voting on social media who had the better story. Okay. There's so like our personalities in these stories. What the fuck happened? Did we feed it after midnight? It was now a Furby demon, and Myra was scared of it. She backed away with tears in her eyes. Her five-year-old mind unable to comprehend what had happened to her cheery little dance pal, saying she wanted her nice Furby back and she didn't want to play with it anymore. So her new electric pet wasn't working out as well as she wanted, which means that it was now my responsibility to care for. Ugh, figures. I felt like I had brought home Chucky from Child's Play to my daughter.
You kind of did.
So, as I sat there with Damien, the dark Furby, glaring at me from across the room, I did what any good mom would do. I Googled, how to make Furby nice again. I can assure you that I am not alone in this type of Google search. There was a lot of suggestions about different things to try. I gathered up the little ball of hate and I tried petting the dumb thing several times. I will hug you and I will love you until you are sweet again. It growled and yelled at me each time while my dog stared at me in confusion, wondering why I was petting a loud toy instead of him. Yes, Cosmo, you're smarter than the humans. Still no change from the Furby, and I was a little worried it might try to bite me. You ever been bit by something with a beak? Fucking hurts.
I hope it does. I mean, I don't know. I feel like I can't hurt you, but I would love to see a Furby try to bite someone.
That would be really cute.
It would be awesome.
Also, I have no idea if that happens because I have not read this. Myra was still across the room, asking me to make it nice again, but too afraid to come near it. Who makes a toy that kids are scared of? What programmer thought that a sociopath personality would be super fun for kids? I'd like to drag that person over to our house and let him slash her console my 5-year-old daughter and explain the reasoning for this. Then I remembered Myra really wanted her Furby to sing and like music. Something suggested music can change the personality. So I put it in front of the iPad, cranked the volume, and subjected this little electric Lucifer to Owl City, followed by ABBA.
Oh, yeah.
She's going to make it a dancing queen.
I hope she does.
He growled and hissed at the music exorcism, at the musical exorcism at first.
Not an ABBA fan.
But slowly started to dance along to the music. You know, that grudgingly too cool for school kid dance where he doesn't want to admit that he really likes Mamma Mia.
Remember when we tried to sing karaoke to Mamma Mia, but they like ran out of time?
Because they let the same two men sing songs over and over and over again.
It was bullshit.
It was fucking bullshit. Near the end of the second song, the Furby's eyes flashed and it shook again. And suddenly, the pop star personality appeared. This one had a softer voice than the Valley Girl, and it likes to sing a lot. Let me repeat. A lot. And instantly, all Furby's offenses had been forgiven by the formerly terrified kindergartner. Myra had been hoping for her Furby. Myra had been hoping her Furby would sing and ran across the room to scoop up her prized possession now that it was no longer, well, possessed. Stupid Furby. Since then, it slipped back to the dark side once, which then fell to me to fix again. Music does seem to be the trick to force it back to being, quote-unquote, nice Furby again. Myra loved the pop star personality. Hers named itself Boo, which is the least offensive personality as far as Furby personalities go. Cordy's Furby hasn't changed personalities once. It prefers to be a Valley Girl slash comedian hybrid, and it doesn't want to change, which is both annoying and okay at the same time. I'd rather deal with the devil I know than the devil it might become. Luckily, the hours between Furby playtimes have already stretched into days. I'm hoping they will eventually lose interest with these gremlins before my personality changes. This has to be my mother's revenge for the Teddy Ruxpin I adored as a kid, right? It's only revenge with 30 years of interest. I better start planning for the next generation now.
Man, I was really hoping the Furby would, like, kill someone.
And then the Furby killed someone.
You can't just add that at the end to make your story seem better.
Also, this was really short. I'm really sorry. Yours was so long.
Mine was really long, so it's kind of good that yours is short because then, I mean, I was afraid after we finished mine, I was like, shit, this is going to be a 2-hour episode.
No.
But it's fine.
Well, mine was like 15 minutes of like, the Furby was evil, and then they're like, have you heard of Katy Perry? And
they're like, yeah, right? Nothing a little ABBA can fucking...
Dancing Queen.
ABBA.
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 I say ABBA because I should say ABRA. ABRA. ABBA. Whatever. It's confusing for me.
I just call her Pooh.
ABBA.
ABBA.
Yeah. That's all. I mean, have like priests tried that? Like, I don't know why they have to do this whole ritual thing to try to get a demon out of someone.
Yeah, just right? Like the power of ABBA.
Just play pop songs.
now I'm saying ABBA.
ABBA.
The power of ABBA, ABBA compels ABBA. You.
Yeah. Tomata, tomata.
Tomata, tomata. There it is. All right. Well, there it is.
Well, thank you for listening in on our Christmas spooktacular. Is that what we call it?
Yeah.
Is that we usually call it that?
I don't know. I don't remember, but I think we should call it that.
I think we do call it a Christmas spooktacular. Second annual
Christmas spooktacular.
Christmas spooktacular. If you guys like what you hear, or what you heard, I should say, rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. You can send us, you can give us a 5-star on Spotify. You can also give us a 5-star on Apple. You could also write us a review on Apple, and we love to read them.
We love to read your reviews. Barbie's
us. Oh, shout out to not you, Noel, but another Noel who
Noel
sent us
P.
the cutest little crochet. One's an alien, one's a zombie.
They're so fucking cute.
We have to post them on the grid.
We'll post them tomorrow.
They are the cutest things ever. Thank you so much for sending those to us. And if anybody else has any other cute things, any Christmas presents, any Christmas cards.
Oh, like a Furby.
Or a Furby.
Yeah.
We will accept them. And you can send them to P.O. Box 1212 in Des Plaines, Illinois, 60017.
Yes. And also, I'm going to say we're on all the social medias. If you want to hang out with us, we love Twitter. We love Instagram. I hate Facebook, so we never check it.
I check the Facebook sometimes.
You're a better person than I am. Thank you.
I actually kind of really like Facebook still, but it's okay. I love it. For like the groups.
I love that for you.
I don't check the newsfeed.
I personally hate it so much. So I love it for you. You can check us out on all the social medias at Quite Unusual Pod. And if you would like to support us with your dollar bills, baby, we do have a Patreon. We have some fun content up there. We're putting up a shit ton more, starting a really cool series that I'm fucking stoked for.
We got some plans.
So yeah, join our coven on Patreon. You can find us again at Quite Unusual Pod over there.
And as always, Merry Christmas, but also Happy Holidays. And also, if you don't celebrate anything, just, I don't know, be, hi, cool.
Hi.
How are you? But also, remember to celebrate the strange.
And while you're at it, keep it unusual.
Bye. Bye.
And this is a part of the show where we give praise to the all-knowing leaders, supporters of the podcast, and all-around benevolent beings. And guess what? We got a hold of all of your letters to Santa this year. We're going to read out exactly what you asked for. Surprise, our little naughty gremlins.
To Tim M. Wrote his letter to Santa on December 1st. Oh, he's the eager beaver, Tim. This year, he asked for a super soaker capable of shooting acid without melting. Sounds like a fun toy.
Also, weirdly fit with your story, so that's kind of sad.
With what?
The super soaker full of acid.
Oh, acid was in my story. Yeah, unfortunate. Well, yes. Whatever.
Well, to Evan K., a terrifying traveler at heart, asked for plane tickets to one of the following destinations. He's not too picky. Either Transylvania, Atlantis, or even Branson, Missouri. I don't know if I'd be brave enough to go to Branson. Honestly, I'm impressed.
Honestly, let's hope he gets one to the first two.
Yes.
To KTT. Simply asked for a pile of bones. Doesn't care what kind, size, or where it came from. Just, and I quote, a whole pile of bones.
That seems like the appropriate amount of bones, I'm going to say. Yes. Yes, I hope she gets that.
Me too.
To Adam K. Adam asked for a pony. Oh. Well, specifically for the fifth horse of the apocalypse, but that's still a pony.
Yeah, I mean, you're a horse girl, you know.
I'm a pro.
If you say yes, then it's yes.
All horses are horses of the apocalypse.
John S. asked for the demon that hovers over his bed every single night and fills his head with untold horrors of the nightmare realm to get a day off now and then. Aw. So selfless, John.
Honestly, so nice.
He needs a night off.
He does. He's been haunting so hard.
So hard.
Caitlin R. asked for an easy bake oven large enough for a human child to fit inside. She's really going through a Hansel and Gretel phase right now, and honestly, we support that.
Honestly, I support that. I really do. Alex C. Alex did not write a letter to Santa this year, but instead wrote to Krampus, asking for the demise of all of her enemies. The gift that keeps on giving.
No, I hope she gets it.
Me too.
And finally, to Jeff S. Jeff S. wrote the sweetest letter to Santa that we have ever read, asking for world peace and goodwill towards all. Unfortunately, I got caught up at the post office and Santa never received it, so I guess we'll all just live in this hellscape for another year. I mean, thanks for trying, Jeff.
Well, I mean, we know you can't really count on the post office. They literally throw our packages away, so...
I'm not gonna lie. I fucking hate the post
office. They're terrible. We really do not like them.
You know what? We need to go back
This is not even a joke.
It's not even a joke. We hate them so fucking much. So I say we go back to smoke signals.
Or Carrier pigeons.
Oh my god. But let's make it spooky and make it
ravens.
Oh my goodness. We're so clever.
If you'd like your own special weekly shout out, just join our Patreon coven and we will write something ghoulishly gruesome just for you.
You deserve it.
And thank you to all of our coven members on Patreon. Without you, we are nothing.
Happy holidays from us. Absolutely nothing. We're nothing. We're not worthy. We're not even getting coal for Christmas because coal can be used as a combustible fuel. Honestly, we don't even deserve anything, especially your love, and we're so grateful.
Right, right. But happy holidays.
Oh, sorry. I just kind of went through something there.